got here and started meeting folks that I could easily fall in love with. Y'all are amazing, a congregation. I am glad the sheep and the goat are separated over here, whichever side you're on, right or left, whatever that is, and whoever's in the middle, you know. God has a way. Thank you for reading. I love hearing women read the scripture. There's a sweetness, a kindness, and in this passage is one of the most, it's the longest chapter in the New Testament. And it's one of the most controversial chapters. So we're going to eat the bread and taste the goodness of the Lord, and yet He calls us to understand who He is. So I'm going to get a little more of the context of this position here, right, or what we're going to be talking about. Let me get my clock here so that I stay on time, if that's possible. I'm struggling now. Oh, yeah. Thank you. Well, my timer is not working. So where am I right now? 10:39. So 12:30 will be great by the time I finish. So the Gospel of John is, we're looking at this part of Scripture. Yeah, there is a handout that gives you the overall perspective of the seven I am statements that, Lord willing, I get to be able to preach to at some point. And if the Lord doesn't, His Scripture will still remain. And then on the back of this handout is actually my sermon notes for you. If you're the 5 percenters that like taking notes, you're in school. This is summer school session, so some of you didn't pass last year and you need to repeat, right? And here you're back in elementary school. That's an awesome thing. So if you look at that and have that, that would be great, if that is helpful. So, the Gospel of John. John chapter 20, 31. This is the purpose of the Gospel of John in John 20, 31. But these are written so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that by believing you may have life in His name. John is known as the evangelist. Lots of times we use this particular book to help new believers to understand and just read through. Some use Matthew, some, you know. But John is a great one to help establish who Christ is as our Savior and be called the Son of God. So he's an evangelist in what he's doing. So the context, if you have your Bibles open for that, in John chapter 6 being the longest one, Jesus has just fed the 5,000, which is, do we know how many generally that might be? If you're feeding 5,000, counts just the men. The other 5 are women, so you're at 10,000 in children. Up to 15,000 are being fed, give or take whatever number that is. But a large number that have gathered here, Jesus, the word is out. In this part of the gospel, it's the last 2 years. You're already into the second year of Jesus, and it goes much faster as it gets closer to the end of that. But then Jesus walks on the water. This is where the disturbance is on the water. The disciples are very fearful, so he's just fed 5,000. Now he's walking on water, going to Jesus. There are several options or several other times that Jesus is doing that also. So that's the context. But it gets to this point, I am the bread of life, the first of 7 I am statements. This is the words for eternal life. So if you look at the handout, and you look, I'm going to go through each of those briefly. It's not trying to cover all these at all. But let me just do the 7 I am statements. If you follow along, they're numbered in order from left to right. The series, I am the bread of life, in John 6. I am the light of the world, in John 8. I am the door, in John chapter 10. Then I'm the good shepherd, John chapter 10. Also, did I? Okay. I am the resurrection and the life, in John 11. And then I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I am the true vine. That covers those 7 I am's. But let me pray for us once again. Lord, this is the word of God. It comes without error. It comes trustworthy. You give us life. You give us hope in the person of Christ, the work of Christ, the finished work. Lord, we thank you that the power of your Spirit resides within us, but also your presence is among us, both as the preaching of the word, the singing of the praise, and the distribution of the elements to bring glory to you in all things. So Lord, help us now in Jesus' name. So the reason I held off on introducing, so when this is introduction of Jesus again in a way that John is trying to help understand. So who am I, right? So Mary Tracy, she is doing a work with a woman that's across the street from us as a neighbor at 79, getting back to Louisiana, her hometown. She became a widow this past October of 2025, trying to move. Tracy's in caretaking for that. So my great wife of 33 years, we live in Franklin County, and so she does a great work, event planning and many other things. Then I have two daughters who are best friends, Kelly and Grace. They're 29 and 28. They married two best friends that are named Cameron, two son-in-laws that help bring testosterone back into the Keith family. Even though we lost our Keith name, it's different. But these are great men. When you bring your AR-15s and you shoot on our property, we're fine. Franklin County loves hearing guns echoing throughout. It's just when the stray bullets miss you. That's a better thing that happens there, just missing you. So those are my sons. That's basically who I am. But that doesn't really tell you who I am. That tells you about my background, which is generally what we do. When we meet somebody, we ask them, you know, tell us where'd you grow up, where your studies or undergrad, or you went into whatever you went into. That's part of understanding who we are. And Jesus is being introduced that way. But then, what do I do? I'm a pastor. You know, I love that title in the sense of what God's called me to do for the last 40 years. Yeah, I began at 16. So 40 years of being in ministry, ordained since 95, and then doing here at this presbytery, I'm called the pastor for pastoral care. I get to love on the teaching elders of our presbytery, and it's a great privilege. It's the first time we've ever done this in Presbytery. I get to be a part of that and see what God's doing. That's what I do. Now, as soon as you take that title away from me, do I stop existing? Most of us identify as men. What do we do? Yeah. My wife goes, I want when you are thankful for who I am, because she does a lot of duties and things. Don't be thankful. You can be thankful for it. But who am I? She wants me to go, what's my character? That's what I want recognition for. Not that she needs it. She's very fiercely independent. And my son-in-laws always come to me and go, Brian, can we talk? I'm like, I'm sorry for whatever my daughters have done, because they're fiercely independent, just like their mother. And we raised them that way. Yes. So we'll start there. Now what do you want to say? So my son-in-laws are great. The work that God's doing in my life. But how do we introduce Jesus? So if I ask you to go, how would you introduce Jesus to these people that we're praying about? What would you say? How would you introduce him? This is who Jesus is. He is the answer. A lot of times I shy away or I'm too bold, many different ways, knowing evangelism explosion, how to introduce people to the gospel of Jesus, the John. The Apostles' Creed is a great thing to just, you already know it. How do you share with others? But how do you introduce someone to Jesus? Let's look at how Jesus says who he is in Luke 9. Now it happened that he was praying alone, and the disciples were with him, and he asked them, who do the crowd say that I am? And they answered, John the Baptist. But others say Elijah, and others that one of the prophets of old has risen. Then he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Peter answered, the Christ of God. Both his title, his relationship to God himself, he is God incarnate. That's how Peter says. And then he messes up royally, and just a little bit later, of denying Jesus' calling. But right here, he identifies Jesus clearly, that God had revealed that to him. So in this first, I am the bread of life. It's been read from the Old Testament, New Testament, of hearing that, and that's what we're going to cover. So I'm going to focus on just 35 through 40. I gave you more of the context. There's too much to cover. Like I said, you've got five sermons in this one chapter easily, and this is a portion of that. So you're looking on your back sheet there. Are you seeking to know Jesus' identity? Then are you trusting Jesus' promises? And are you answering Jesus' invitation to life? His identity, promises, and invitation. I will mention these again, so don't get too frustrated you didn't get it. So Jesus proclaims his divinity. So he's saying, I am God, by using this term, I am. It's the same as what we've already read, when Moses is sent back to Pharaoh, who do I tell him to release my people? Who do I tell him who is this that's saying this? Tell him, I am sent you. Okay, I need more than that. Nope, you don't. Yahweh, the name of God, is captured in that, where the Jews won't even say the name of God, but this in the New Testament is called ego eimi. That's the Greek point, not trying to flash anything on you, but that's the I am. The I am captures all of who God is, Christ, the Trinity, all of that comes together. You're like, that doesn't help me. Well, but it is. Realize how much Yahweh is the clearest understanding of who God is, and there's much more to explain, but that's the beginning. His divine name being Yahweh, Christ, the Son of God. His divinity also is his heavenly provisions here in John 6:32. Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread of heaven. In your provision, right, you want to think Moses did all this, and that's great. Moses was a part of the leadership of that time, leading a million people out of the Exodus, across the Red Sea, and all that's going to happen for the next 40 years. How will God provide? God provides manna, sustaining bread for your life every day. And for 40 years, that's up, right? Yes, we get tired of something after 2 days of eating, but then also the water that Moses strikes the rock for then, misses it on the second round, but Moses is a part of that. So Jesus proclaims his divinity, his divine relationship, number three, with his Father, in verse 32. Then Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. So when you proclaim that you have this relationship with the Holy Heavenly Father, that says a lot, and it's very disruptive for our Jews at that time of understanding, who is this Jesus to say that you have this divine nature, name, and a relationship with God, our Heavenly Father? That is totally crazy in thought for them. And yet Jesus issues who I am, introducing who he is, where he comes from. The manna came from heaven, but that's from God. But I am the true bread of life. I am the very sustenance that you need daily, every day. All of life, right, is centered in this part of understanding. So Jesus claims his divinity in heavenly home, that who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. This is Jesus proclaiming where he's from, right? You want to know where Jesus is from? He's from heaven. Where is that? Well, that's on heaven above. How can you say that? They're struggling with Jesus saying all of this. For I come down from heaven, not in verse 38, to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. All Jesus is doing is coming, proclaiming that he is God himself. And this is very disruptive at this time. But you've already seen Jesus perform the miracle of feeding 5,000 to 15,000 people with two loaves or five loaves and two fishes. That's amazing. But then they're starting to seek Jesus. Are you seeking to know Jesus' identity? Or are you seeking to know Jesus, what he does for you? Is it the doing for you, the gifts he offers? That's really all that you really want from Jesus, is what he does for you. That's where the reason they're pursuing him. But are we trusting Jesus for his promises? Let's look at his promises here. In 35 here, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Hunger established by bread, right? Even in the gulag in places, bread is so nutritionally possible. And yet some of us now go, gluten-free. We have to have gluten-free. Is Jesus gluten-free? Is he going to give me too much of this? Wheat, all that's going on with our lives. But bread is a substance for our sustaining us. Now, I'm on the carnivore diet. I try to eat meat. Of course, the last 2 days was I celebrate with Dave and Mary's Seville's son, who just turned 17. There was a celebration, and there's always a celebration. And then that bread that you think, I don't need bread, until you get to the restaurant and have those nice soft rolls that almost are like Krispy Kreme donuts, depending on what glaze, right? I love that, right? Softness and bread. And I go, I don't need bread, until I realize I'm missing my bread. It's not that easy. But the meat and all that God gives us there and how that works out for me, losing 30 pounds, thank the Lord for all that. And there's plenty more to go. But he, this is your hunger, bread, thirst, water, right? We can only survive about that 40 days at the most. Dave, is that right? On how long can one survive without water?
No,
not very long. That's a safe one. Whether food is 40 days and 4 days really without water, but really, and then when it comes to hope, right, it's only 4 seconds, right? We can lose hope real easily, and our bodies can sustain for a while. You can't do that all the time, but Jesus fasted and, you know, for food, but water is necessary for all living creatures and everything. So this is what Jesus is saying. I am that. You believe in me. This is the promises I give to you. You shall never thirst again. You'll never be hungry again. You'll never thirst again. Well, he's not talking about all the physical body here. It's a spiritual working. So that sounds like, oh, it's easy to say. What? But does Jesus really sustain you on his promises? On him himself is who? Is that enough for you? Do we really rest on his promises? Looking at verse 35 there. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. And then Corrie Ten Boom, she said, as one of the Holocaust victims of what went through her and her sister, and what they were trying to hide, Jews got caught. But when you're in this Auschwitz camp, right, dying and all that was needed, she's like, you may never know what that Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have. Corrie Ten Boom, you may never know that Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have. And she and her family went through horrendous situations. Betsy died. And that, really just understanding that kind of trauma in your life and how God still used it to glorify him. Now, one of the things in understanding promises, too, that Jesus comes, he is the fulfillment of all that God's planned. But part of me raising two daughters, in order to really spend time with my daughters, I had to give my wife a break, and I get to take my daughters either to Lowe's or to the playground, right? And Daddy's on point here. You know, I don't know what kind of playground they have here, but remember the horizontal ladder that's there that you climb up to and go from one arm next bar to the next bar. My daughters loved that. You know, at 3 and 4 years old, now I had to lift them up, and they were holding on, but they're scared to go from one bar to the next bar to go all the way across. But who's got them? They have to trust Daddy that, Daddy, you got to hold on to me. Because, yes, the drop is about this far, but that might as well be the Grand Canyon for them at 3 and 4. Daddy's got you. Daddy got you up there. Daddy's going to make sure you get across. And you're watching them as they developed over the years, zinging across there, where I couldn't do that anymore. I'm like, yeah, of course I can reach it and walk across to it, act like I'm really sustaining myself. Can't do a push, pull up anymore. But watching the support for them, you've got this. Watching your daughters develop, trying to help them, right, in their fears and just understanding, as simple as that is, but holding them up, you've got this. Jesus does the same. I am your bread. I am your life. I am all your thirst is. Everything about me, I am that for you. I am the living bread for you that can sustain you. He does it all, coming from heaven. That's what we look to. So Jesus, are we seeking to know Jesus' identity? Are we trusting Jesus' promises? And are you answering Jesus' invitation to live? And this is verse 36 through 40. But I say to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. Jesus is saying, this is the invitation, right? You've seen me provide, because the crowd, lots of the crowd came across to the other side of the lake, Capernaum, and the area he's in, right? You're following me because the free lunch that I gave you, and you saw how amazing. Dude, he's a cash cow. If he can provide sustenance like this at the drop of a prayer, like, this is great. Having 12 baskets, leftovers, we need to know who Jesus is, only because of what he provides. Not for who he is, but what he does. Well, that's not the invitation Christ is saying. I'm the only one who really can sustain you. I am the bread of life. This is what we're looking at. If you come to me and believe and trust in me, that's who will sustain you. I am the bread of life. And the Father gives me will come to you. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. So Jesus never is taking away or throwing others out. Now, he does distinguish between the sheep and the goat, or who said that I did all this work for you in Matthew 25 or that area. But when did we do this? Well, when you did it for the least of my brothers, that's what you did unto me. But you, I never knew you. There is a time when Jesus says, I never knew you. All you did all the religious things, you did all the things that are right, but that's not what is pleasing to the Father. You have to depend upon Christ's finished work, his personhood, and all that he does. But you will never be cast out. For all those who are drawing them to him, right, and that's in verse 44. No one comes to the Father unless he comes through me. It already distinguishes that Jesus is the only way. And he's trying to help them understand, even in our culture, going, what? Jesus, how narrow-minded is that? Yep. Because he's the true answer for all that we have and need. I don't know if the musicians, I didn't have a chance to get to them before, but I thought about He Will Hold Me Fast, Kristen and Keith Getty's song. It's a great worship song. Do y'all sing it here? He Will Hold... Oh, good. You got to learn that. But anyway, listen to these words that help us in understanding his calling us to him and his support. When I fear my faith will fail, Christ will hold me fast. When the tempter would prevail, he will hold me fast. I could never keep my hold through life's fearful path. For my love is often cold, he must hold me fast. He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. For my Savior loved me so, he will hold me fast. The holding of fast is that he's there always entering into your life, right, to keep your strength up, to depend upon him. You won't keep it all perfectly. And all that God holds on to, Joe Novison, who was a former pastor at Lookout Mountain Press in Chattanooga, he would give this illustration of holding on, right, like this. But when you lose the grip, you know, guess who's still going to hold on to you? Holding a grip, I was a wrestler in high school and a little bit in college. There's the grip that you try to have. If you control the hips of the person, if you can control the grip of the person as much as possible, you can win a match. But the holding fast, that He will sustain us in that promise of Him being with us, but He will hold you fast. Nothing will get outside of His plan for you. But answering this invitation, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. Jesus knows exactly why. We know this, we trust in it, and then we go, you know what? But this is your remembrance right here. The communion table. Because most tables say what on the front of it, of a communion table that you might have seen? What that? Say, do this in remembrance of me. Yes, we forget so often. Because when times and the tempter comes, the waves get too much, will He hold me? Be reminded that this is what He's done for you. Once again, be reminded. Don't forget. It's easy to drift away, like in Hebrews. You lose sight of what He's doing in the midst of the failures, the mistakes, the sinfulness, all that's going on in your family, your life, your workplace, your neighborhood. God's calling a man of God for the church of God here at Hope Crozet. He's got that person, his family, all that will work out in His timing, in His way, to have the right pastor for this church. That's a great gift. He's inviting you to trust in Him. He's got a plan even for Hope Crozet. And this is the will of Him who sent me. I should lose nothing of all, meaning the people, that He has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in Him should have eternal life. I will raise him up on the last day. That our spirit will be, when we pass away, be up in the presence of Christ, the Heavenly Father, the Trinity, and yet He will raise our bodies incorruptible at that time too. However all that works out, God's in charge of that. He will make that true, but He will raise us up, right? We're called to know Him, trust in Him, both in His promises, who He is, and the invitation for you to come. We've known Jesus for most of us, most of our lives, or you're new to the faith. It's the same, right? He brings you along. He calls you to Himself. That's what we trust in. So are we seeking to know the identity? Are you trusting Jesus' promises? And are you answering Jesus' invitation? One of the things we can't get caught up is like with Tom Brady. So we got football season. Some of you go, I don't care about football. You know, UVA, whatever you might hate or like. But Tom Brady was one of the biggest quarterbacks of all time. They call him the GOAT. For you don't understand that, but GOAT stands for the acronym, the greatest of all time. GOAT, greatest of all time. 10 Super Bowl appearances, 7 Super Bowl titles, 5-time Super Bowl MVP, 3-time regular season MVP. Was playing for the New England Patriots and then went to Tampa Bay. But has a family, right? Giselle, right, a supermodel, marries her. They have 4 children, and yet now they're divorced. You have net worth of $350 million, and was interviewed by CNN at one point on the 5th championship. Well, what's next? Tom, you reached all this. He's like, I wish I knew. All his trust in his incredible ability that God had given him, he didn't turn to the Lord. Right now, you're tremendously wealthy. You've lost your wife. You've lost your family. But you have this hole in your heart that easily is only filled by Christ and Christ alone. I wish I knew what the next thing is. I wish I knew what would help me. But all these worldly cares, wherever that is for you, an understanding, this is not your hope. Your hope is only in the one who says, I am the living bread, giving life and grace to you. Because what St. Augustine says that we have this answer for even a Tom Brady, for our lives too. Our hearts were made for you, O Lord, and they are restless until they rest in you. We have this hole in our heart that's a vacuum that only Christ can fill. Sustain us in life, in food, and everything about that, but more on who He is. Let me just remind us of this passage once again as we get ready for communion. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Amen.